Well, good morning. It's a blessing here to be with you all.
Morning.
This is my wife, Jessica. We met here in Sylmar when we were 14 years old. We come from this valley. I was born at the Kaiser down the street, and the Lord had a plan, and it wasn't to stay here in California. And so we're glad for that, but we wanted to share some of the highlights of our ministry in the last year. I figured you guys get plenty of good, solid preaching every week. When they gave me the option to preach or to share our ministry, I thought, let's do that. I don't think there's a lack of good preaching here. So we met, as I said, when we were 14. We got married at 20. I wanted two kids. Let's see, how do we... there? But she had other plans, so I'll let her tell you about our family.
Okay, thanks. So we've been married going on 37 years, and I'm sad that you told them when we met because and when we got married, because now they can do the math. But this is our very small family. We have seven kids. Three are adults and married. Another one is an adult in college. We have actually two in college now. Time goes by so fast. You'll lose track if you have small children. It goes by fast. Anyway, so we have a college girl in Korea, studying in Korea, English, not joking. Anyway, but she's doing that. And then we have a high school student, and then we have a 9-year-old. Of the 10-year-old, yes. You see how you lose track? Thank you, honey. It's usually the other way around. So then I do want to say, in this picture... so we have two grandkids. You can see the two grandsons there. We actually have three grandkids. There's another one in the daughter on the right, our first daughter. Is that your right or your left? Yes. Okay. That daughter, she is our first daughter, and she is going to have her first baby in the next 10 days. So if you can pray for Gracie and her husband Garrett and their little boy, yet to be named, we would really, really appreciate it. We're so thankful that God brought us here at this time so that our furlough is timed with her first baby, the arrival of it. Okay, anything else?
Full disclosure, you can see that picture of me sitting there, and my hair matches the shirts around me. So I thought I'd try something new while in the U.S., and so I got tired of people seeing me after not seeing me for years, and they go to my wife. Well, they used to say, "You guys look so young. You can't be grandparents." And after a while, it's like, "Oh, you look so young." And they look at me. So, how you doing? So, all right, experiment. We'll see how that goes. But, anyways, our school, it's called the Expositors Academy, a TMAI training center. The first 10 years, we were out there alone, just praying for teammates and recruiting, and I'll share more about that. But now we're currently up to over 600 students, have almost 400 graduates. That's one of our conferences there. It has just been a joy to watch what the Lord has been doing. And so I don't forget, thank you. We are there because of people like you. And our fruit is your fruit. This is a partnership. So anyone that comes to Christ, any pastor that's trained and shepherds and helps his church, it's because you guys sent us there. You're praying for us. And so we are so thankful for that. And for those of you who are not familiar with us in our ministry, please join in praying for us. So we are working in 13 countries. It was always the vision to base in the Philippines and then eventually throughout Asia to send trained Filipinos. But in God's sovereignty, I guess I'm thinking of, you know, like when persecution in Acts sent the church, you know, they were supposed to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, and it seemed like perhaps that was taken a little while. So God used persecution and dispersed them all over. Well, COVID was, I call it the digital diaspora, moved our training all over the place as people were locked down and still wanted to be trained. And so we started getting students from all over. And it's funny because some Filipino students, see, we have Filipino students from the USA. They some of them were in the Philippines, moved here, and still join us for training. But so Australia, Cambodia, Dubai, India, Indonesia, Malaysia, Myanmar, Nepal, Pakistan, Qatar, Singapore, even the UK and the US. We have students from all these places, and sometimes different countries will pop in and out. But we do hybrid training. So we have our students in person in Manila, and then we have people from other countries, which is a blessing for our Filipino students, seeing brothers from these other countries online studying with us each week. And then, Lord willing, we'll be sending Filipinos to those places to join them in planting churches and training. So we have 11 language groups that our students represent, and 10 training locations that are online. You might recognize Abraham Ramos, some of you up in that picture, and Devraj Erz. Devraj is a missionary. It's interesting. He's here from Grace Church. He's originally from India, and he was in India for a while. And then we said, hey, we've got about 5,000 Indian medical students in this one site where we train. You interested in coming out our way? And so he's joined our team. And then Abe, his dad is the senior pastor of the church that Devraj serves at as an elder. And we did our training there, and we sent his son back here to TMS, and now he's back in the Philippines on our faculty. So we are made up of 7 missionary families, and then we have 7 nationals. But you may recognize some of these faces. We got Dorcas Kim at the top there. Devraj and his wife, Tristy, Tim and Tina Carnes, the Chows. Boy, I should have worn my glasses. Looks like the Lucianos in the center there, and then the Browns. So they're all on our team. As I said, the first 10 years was by ourselves. And that was great because the Lord, as Mark alluded to, I can't imagine any training center and any church not having their struggles and trials. Our training center in Lebanon recently just had some issues. And I'm just smiling as they're sharing, going, that's God uses that to grow you. That's a part of the process. You finish your education, if you prepare for ministry, it never finishes. God keeps training you. But and so we learned a lot during those 10 years, which really helped us to pave the way for the rest of the team. And that way we can go to a whole nother level. And then we have 7 nationals. So there's these 3 families were our graduates, and we sent him here to TMS. So you might recognize Quito Espiritu. I mentioned Abraham Ramos already, and then the Jesuses, we call them Tabs, but I think here you know him as Francis. Tabs is Filipino nickname for taba, or short of taba, which means fat, or fatso. I didn't give him that name. That's how he was introduced to me by his senior pastor, and he embraces it, but he's not taba.
He's not. Anymore.
I think he was in high school.
I think as a kid. And so it's kind of a term of endearment, if you will. We wouldn't think so, but he doesn't mind it. Praise God.
The only equivalent I can think of is, and I'm dating myself, Little Rascals. She called this guy Chubsy Ubsy. You know, but anyways, so those are 3 nationals that we sent to TMS. We also sent 3 others, or I shouldn't say sent, but they're studying online, doing the mentor model MDiv, which I've come to actually kind of prefer because it keeps them in the ministry. It allows us to mentor them. They don't come back after 4 years and, I don't recognize a lot of people in my church anymore. And, you know, when I lived in America, I had a car or two and nice air conditioning. Now I'm back in the Philippines. There's some learning curve. So it's nice to just keep them in the context of ministry. They get the same training, and then they get to stick with their churches and not create a void there.
Just to explain the mentor model for wives who may not know, it's where the students can attend TMS, but from where they are at, as long as there is a TMS grad who can mentor them on site. So they're actually getting the training online or via satellite, I'm not sure how, but they're getting the same training, but there's somebody personally mentoring them.
Yeah, and that's been great, and that's why I have her here. I forget these things, and someone's got to connect the dots. But, yeah, so that's been great. I'm actually mentoring one man. We have a student from Pakistan, and Oh, I was just reading the headlines today, boy, and a lot of stuff's happening, even in Pakistan. But he's one of our graduates. We do training there as well, and he graduated. He wanted more. And so we started the mentor model with him in Pakistan. But the conditions there, I mean, almost every call with him, I'd meet every week to mentor him. How's your school going this week? What are you studying through? We'd work through some of the pastoral issues, and then he just disappears off of Zoom. His power went out. So then he calls back from his phone. Okay, I'm on data now, you know, and we're talking. And then so one time there was some fighting outside and tear gas was coming in his room. Can we meet again next week, you know? And sometimes, oh, they don't have this book. Can you send this to me? Because Amazon's not allowed there. They don't have Christian bookstores like we would have here. So I said, you know what? Would you consider moving to the Philippines? That way we can help you learn academic writing. We have all the resources you need here. We don't have to worry about internet issues. And more importantly, we got a healthy church for you to not just go to seminary and learn the theory, but see it practice. And that's been huge. So, and there's him, and there's another man from Thailand that I'm mentoring. And then we have two other Filipinos doing the mentor model right now. All right, so our training includes, we have a preaching program, a biblical studies program, and a biblical counseling program. We'll add to that as time goes, but we've been blessed. I would say our training center is more of like a teenager compared to our senior training centers in Europe, and so they've given a lot of advice. An early piece of advice they gave is don't start with the MDiv. A lot of guys get out of seminary, yeah, let's go. I'm going to teach these guys Greek and Hebrew, and it's rough when that's like your third, fourth, fifth language. So it's better to start with the fundamentals, serve the church. Then you get to see what can our students handle. Some guys will, yeah, I want to do an MDiv. I want to preach like John MacArthur. They get in the program and they can't handle it. If you start them with a good foundation first, then you help stretch their ability in reading and writing and prepare them for that. We teach, as we said, in person, online, and then hybrid, which we'll have some people in person while others are coming in via Zoom. We don't really do video training other than the ICL that we offer, but those are the modules or the formats that we use. Did you want to add anything to that?
Only, nope.
All right. Just want to make sure I didn't miss anything. So, all right. It's always been on my heart to not just train Filipinos, but to send Filipinos throughout Asia. It's interesting. Different parts of the world have different countries that don't have as much opportunities as others. So like here in the U.S., there's a lot of opportunities. And so you have a lot of people that come from South America, Mexico. They'll come up here and work. Filipinos like that will go all over the globe and work. If you've been to a hospital, a care facility, because of the culture, they put such a high value on respecting their elders and taking care of people that they just blend everywhere. And they usually learn language fast. They adapt fast. They're just super sweet people. So they get in places where, to be frank, a cracker like me can't go. I'll just, you know, like the largest percentage of Filipinos that work abroad, they call them OFWs, is Saudi Arabia. So they... It's been years since I've checked the stats, but it was well over 100,000 working in Saudi Arabia. And I've talked to Filipinos who were working as drivers, cooks, house help. This one gal, she was sharing, she worked for I guess it was actually like a royal family. And she was teaching the kids hymns. And then one of the little kids was singing a hymn, and the father was really, what is this? You know, we're a Muslim family. And so they fired her, and then the kids were crying. She was like a second mom to them. So they brought her back. She says, I can't stop teaching your kids about Jesus. So he allows it. Lots of stories like that. They recruit people from the Philippines to go to their country. We apply for visas to go to places like Pakistan. It's gotten easier, but I remember the first time we went there, it took months. I mean, I had to give bank statements, church address, pictures, passports, back and forth, rejection, you need this and that. They recruit Filipinos to go to a lot of these closed-access countries. So it's just always been on my heart. Let's train them. They don't all have to be preachers. They don't have to get MDivs. But you could have a gal like that who works, takes care of someone's kids. Same thing in Hong Kong. I remember when we were first 21 years ago, that's when we started in the Philippines, we talked to one mission about going there. They said, well, would you consider going to Hong Kong instead? I'm like, should they go? Because there's over 100,000 Filipinos working there as domestic helpers. I'm like, I'll go wherever the Lord wants to send me, but he's really been burdening my heart for the Philippines. But they're all over, and so that's always been a part of the vision, is to train them and send them. You could have someone who's a truck driver, so they would, you know, maybe the Qatari government recognizes this guy is a truck driver. We had a friend who was a window installer. But in their mind, yeah, that's my job, but I'm here for Jesus to make disciples. I'm here to help plant churches or start Bible studies or disciple, and then we can send the next way when they got some groups of trained people. Okay, now let's try to send a pastor. So we're working towards that. We started what we call Three Strands, a global association. We started our own missions agency. Very infant, we just adopted the TMAI doctrinal statement. We're looking at adopting the Grace Church missionary handbook as our policies and procedures. So we're reviewing that. We're making sure that the nationals own it. So I asked one of them to be the president, and I'm just kind of fly on the wall. I said, I want this to be a ministry of the local church. Our churches there are too small to do it on their own, so we got three of our partner churches, and they're doing it together. So the Expositors Academy, we're providing the training. The local churches are there to help recruit people, train people, recognize their gifting, and then help develop their character, and then send them out. So we're working together as three churches doing that. We're registered with the government. We're forming in the last year, and we've already got 8 missionaries saying, please, we want to be sent out under you. We're under different groups. We don't agree with their philosophy of ministry. They're focused on things that we're not so happy about or the theology. And so we haven't even started sending any yet. We've already got a queue of missionaries ready to go. So we're excited about that. To support our developing school, we took part in 2 mission seminaries. So this is our school. Maybe you know John and Monica Zing. Okay, so those are partners of ours in Indonesia. And they're looking to form a school there, a training center for TMAI. And so we've been going back and forth there for the last several years to help them build their ministry. And so you can see we were there with Mark and Adi and Teresa there. Yeah, John's there. Again, I'm not wearing my glasses, but anyways. So we were doing some missions conferences using the TMAI textbook. I think it was November, we did a marriage conference with them as well. We've done some training on preaching and other things, and their school is starting to really take roots in the formative stages. So we try to help developing schools in the region. I'll let Jessica share about her time in Pakistan. We got to go there together. I'll let her go.
Okay. So I thought there were very, very few believers in Pakistan. And there are. That is true. But they actually have solid believers who will run Christian schools. I didn't know a Christian school was allowed. But there is one. And so we have a good friend who had been inviting me. Can you come? My teachers need training on how to counsel the students. Can you imagine what it is like to be a child growing up in Pakistan, let alone a Christian? You belong to this Christian family. You don't understand why you're being persecuted. And on top of that, there's the culture in Pakistan where girls, women are not treated the same. And so they have all these challenges. And so the teachers have to deal with that. And so they'd asked me to come. And fortunately, the timing was great because I wouldn't have gone on my own. Sean was doing training with men. And so I joined him at the time. And it was just an awesome time of being able to teach the teachers how to use God's word to impact the lives of their students. For the kids to know that there is a God who sees everything and who will be there for them and who not only is going to guide them through their life, but who actually gave his own life to save them and to protect them. Okay, so that is the biblical counseling training I got to do in Pakistan. I'm thankful to God for that. But if it's okay, I'd like to share a little bit about the biblical counseling training in the Philippines, because that is growing. And our primary training in the Philippines is preaching and biblical studies. But because Sean has added biblical counseling to our programs, it's drawn in a lot of people who may not have been looking for preaching or biblical training. They're looking for counseling. They go online and look for counseling training. Oh, there's Christian counseling. There's biblical counseling. What is that? And so they will actually join our biblical counseling classes, women. I only train women. But we do have, now we've added a mixed group of introduction to biblical counseling. Anyway, so they're getting introduced to biblical counseling, but they're also getting introduced to biblical training. Because a lot of the students, after they finish taking a biblical counseling course, they'll go on and take hermeneutics and the other courses that the Expositors Academy offers. And then they'll tell their churchmates and pastors about our school. So it's been a great opportunity to actually reach out and impact more churches than the churches who already follow John MacArthur and Grace Church. There's a lot of churches that are very aligned with us, and they seek us out. But then there are those who are just looking for counseling. And it's pretty awesome how God's been using that as well.
Yeah, we have a... I think it's starting in the week after the Shepherd's Conference. We're starting a... It's basically the MABC from TMU, Dr. Ernie Baker, is sending teams to us a few times a year to do that training in modularly. So it's unheard of in the Philippines. It's really, they typically will send their people to the U.S. and get secular psychology and bring that back. So we want to try to head that off early, since even secular psychology is newish there. We can at least challenge the believers and the churches. Hey, God's word is sufficient and authoritative. Please consider this as you're trying to help people's souls. But before we leave Pakistan, so we were there in July. Last year was a busy year because we knew we'd be here on furlough this year. So we wanted to, I wear a few different hats. So I'm the president of our school. I'm the country leader for our team. But I'm the Grace Church we call it the regional shepherd for other Grace Church missionaries. So together we travel and encourage our missionaries. And then for TMAI, I'm the regional leader for TMAI. So on the academic side, we help our developing schools. Now you see this man sitting, well, I'm there wearing this in the blue. There's a man to my right in that picture. You can't tell how big that guy is, but he's sitting down and is almost as tall as me. That's not saying much, but... He's a big guy, and I mention that because he's a very passionate evangelist for the Lord, and he ministers to Afghans, to Taliban, to Iranians, and so he went over the border into Iran and was sharing the gospel there, and they arrested him. I can't imagine, because they beat him unconscious. I'm thinking if I was hitting him, he'd probably smile at me. So I'm thinking, wow, who was hitting him that would knock him out? But in God's providence, so they arrested him, and instead of him spending many years in prison or even dying there, the guard asked him, he goes, oh, are you a Christian? He goes, yeah. And he goes, oh, me too. So he changed his charges from proselytizing or illegally sharing the gospel to overstaying his visa. So he got out in 6 months, and then they kicked him out of the country. It's weird. Most countries in the world don't let you just come into their country, and they kick you out. You know, I have to every year. Actually, I'm late. I got to do my annual report. I'm here, so I got to figure out how to do that online. But so they kicked him out, and he's been studying with us, and yeah, he's passionate for the Lord. Well, so in August, we went to South Korea, another TMS family, Michael Park. I can't remember his wife's name. I don't know if you remember. I don't know if I should put this. But anyways, we met the Parks. So they're doing a church plant there, and they hope to start a TMAI training center. We got Justin Cho. I think we got about 6 or 7 TMS grads there, and there's vision to start a TMAI training center there at the right time. So we encourage them. and we'll see what the Lord does with that. We also spent time there. We met with the different churches there, and then we dropped our daughter off to start college there. You know, when your kids get older, you kind of transition to coach a little less than parents. She got accepted to TMU when we would rather her have gone there, but my siblings went there. I want to go somewhere different, so all right. So the one comfort is that 4 years at Korea University, which is a very prestigious university, is cheaper than one semester at TMU. So that helps on a missionary budget, but it's not going to give the life change that TMU does. So.
It also helps that she is just a quick airplane ride home. So she's still in Asia, pretty much at the same time zone, within an hour. So that on the mother's heart, you know, that tugged at my heart. But also, we're so blessed to see her taking her faith. It's hers. She's taking ownership of it. Before we even got there, she'd already researched the churches. We visited one with her. And so that part of it, I was very blessed to see, because I don't know that she would have had that as much in a place where I guess what I'm saying is she's actually forced to. You know what I'm saying? Because she doesn't have all the chapels and she doesn't have all of those things.
We were a little savage because we're glad that she found a good church and we got to visit it with her. But then she shared, hey, I got baptized last week. We're like, what? You didn't invite us? No. But so we can get there in just under 4 hours, as cheap as $100, maybe typical between 100 and 2. As opposed to visiting her in the U.S., if we flew here, you know, it's 12 hours to fly here, about $1,100, and then 15 hours back because of the wind. So it's nice having her close, easy to bring her home for Christmas and summer and stuff like that. But so we also went to Thailand. We have a developing school there. There's a family, the Valandries, really neat family. I can't remember if it's 60 or 70 works, but they've translated about 60 or 70 books, good theological, biblical, and Christian living books into Thai. So, and they've got their school, they got a good building, they got dorms there. They've got, I think, 3 or 4 men studying at TMS now. I'm mentoring one of them. So we're excited about this developing school and look forward to it being another TMAI training center in the future if that's the Lord's plan. And then the next month, we got to go to India, put on our regional shepherd hats, and went to encourage our missionaries there. Some are comfortable taking pictures, and others would rather not, and that's fine. But we met with the Bismayers. You may know Jamie and Susan. And I think that's the little boy Tommy there in the center picture on the side, and they get the little guy there. What's the youngest one? I forget. You got Tommy and, do you remember? I can't even remember my own kids, to be honest.
I can't remember their ages, really.
And we got Krishna. I don't know if we got a picture of Joy with her husband. But so we got to visit those three families. It was nice because when we visited the Kusensas, we were like on the fourth floor. So we spent a day and a half with them. And then we went up to the 10th floor and spent a day and a half with the Bismayers on the same building. So that was nice. And then we went to the... Let's see, it'd be the east side of India and visited a couple other families that we have there, the Williams. And then we stopped by and spent some time encouraging the Lees, Joshua and Julie Lee, in Malaysia. They've been faithful missionaries there for many years.
That's the only picture I could find of our visit. And if you're wondering, why is it just our heads? It's really not us. It's the building I think they wanted to capture because it's a significant building in Malaysia. So there, that's why.
Yeah, we're not so fun to look at anyways. Old people. There's the white hair again. It's better than when I used to have a naked face. I had to slowly work that in COVID. I just had just the goatee, and then she allowed me, okay, not too long, but she allowed me to the sides, and at least I got that. So,
oops.
All right. The next month, or from October, November, we had our faculty retreat. So we had the Palladians came out and spoke for our group. And we also had a missions conference and then our TMEI regional summit. It was kind of sobering. Like I said, we started out 10 years by ourselves laboring and then seeing a room full of missionaries that had joined our team with all their little kids. And it's like, wow, you know, look what the Lord has done, you know. So we're excited about that. And then even TMAI was told that this is one of the biggest regional conferences or summits that we've had. Never been to one of the European ones or South America and stuff, but we had a good crowd of students all throughout Asia and encouraging them as far as Pakistan to the Philippines, Australia. We had people from Korea, Malaysia. Who got stuck? For some reason, they had a typhoon, so most of our guys from Indonesia couldn't come, but we had a great time fellowshipping together. Did you want to add?
There's a picture missing there, but you want to tell them who spoke at the missions conference?
I did. It's right there. The Palladians? Missions Conference.
Missions Conference, okay. Yes.
So that's the faculty Palladian Missions Conference. We had Chris Burnett, Mark Tatlock. Who else did we have?
Rodney
Anderson came out. Yeah. I spoke a little bit. We had some locals from the church. So if I click again, the picture won't pop up?
I don't think so.
All right.
You can try.
It was a busy month, though, from back-to-back conferences. I think we went to 7 countries from, June through November. Because right after this conference, we went to Indonesia again. Yeah, so we did the marriage conference there with the Zings. Mark and Lisa were with us. Brian Tamisian was there. So we had a good time encouraging many families. And little ministries like that where you pull people together and do a small conference, whether it's on marriage, family, counseling, it draws a lot of folks in. That creates a big pool. And from there, we find people that want to go deeper. They want to learn how to interpret and study the Bible. Some want to be good Bible study leaders, cell group leaders, and some want to be pulpit pastors. So we till the soil doing conferences and seminars like that. And I think that was up to November. And then the next month we jumped on a plane, came here and got to visit family. I think the third time we got to spend family with Christmas in 21 years, except the last time was COVID. So we came here so excited to see our family for Christmas, and then we couldn't see them. Our son came and visited, but he sat outside of the house and we passed gifts through the window. You know, he had his mask on. He lived with some older folks and didn't want to take any chance giving them anything. So we got to spend Christmas with our family this year, which was great. But anyways, those are just highlights. We did a lot of traveling last year. Our ministry is growing, so we're super grateful for what the Lord's doing. Built a team, built some nationals. We're looking forward to turning it over to the nationals possibly as early as the next 10 years. I've got my eye on 3 men that you can pray for. There's 3 men I'm looking at. I'm hoping one of them will take over the ministry for me, and then I will be coach. You know, I'll encourage, maybe, hey, I'll teach if you want me to teach. Regional shepherd in the area, I can continue that and help development with TMA. We'll see what the Lord has in store, but it's exciting to step back and watch. I remember we did this one module with some of our graduates. It was the first time we included some graduates in training. So the official language in the country is English and Tagalog. So we took some of our Tagalog guys down there with us, but they don't speak Tagalog. That's not their main language down there. It's Bisayan. So we used English as a bridge, but in that one module, they taught in English, Bisayan, Ilonggo, and Tagalog, so 4 languages, and it was just blessed me to see, wow, you know, with this one language, we can reach many men who will train others in so many other different languages, and so we're excited about that. We're starting to print resources in at least 2 different dialects besides English as well. In the Philippines, and then we're working to help with our partners in the region and printing stuff in Urdu and in Pakistan and Bahasa in Indonesia. The MacArthur Study Bible should be done in Indonesian Bahasa, I think, any time now. It should be coming out real soon. So the Lord's been doing some great things in the region. And again, thank you so much. I think we have some time. If there's any questions, we would be happy to answer any questions you might have. Do we face any resistance? It's minimal. We do have Muslims. We did have a student get assaulted once, but once in 20-something years. He was evangelizing in a mall, had a Bible study, and so they assaulted him and said, don't preach the gospel here anymore, which, of course, they continued to. And it's allowed. There's certain areas. This was educational for me. There was a time where we were teaching in the South where there's a larger concentration of Muslims. And so we're training some men there, and I said, don't worry, we're happy to come down. We've counted the cost. We're happy to come down here. We're not worried about any risk. He goes, no, you don't understand. You'll come here and train us. That's no problem. You leave, we have the risk. Because now the imams are going, why did you have these foreigners here? What are you doing? And then it puts them in danger. So times like that, we say, okay, let's find a remote site that's safe for everybody. We've had times where the Catholic Church has given some resistance. The Philippines is about 80% Catholic. So like we had some people coming to a home Bible study. They were also going to the Catholic Church, and they're coming to our Bible study. And so the priest says, oh, what night you go to the, oh, Thursday night you go to the Bible study? Could you light candles for us on that night? You know, they try to move that. They've had on the island of Cebu, the Catholic Church, or at least some government officials put pressure. A church plant was trying to rent a building, and so they were putting pressure to not give them the permit or to allow them to be in that building. But it's relatively minor. There's a lot of freedom. And that's one reason it's such a great hub for the region. You automatically get a 30-day visa for most countries. You just step in and boom, you're stamped, you're there. Everyone's going to speak English, good high-speed internet, fairly decent infrastructure. So we're hoping that our training center will be a hub for the region. So as some of the developing schools want to increase their staff, rather than going, like the biblical counseling course we're offering right now through TMU and BCMW, it's a biblical counseling ministries worldwide, I believe. You don't have to go all the way to the U.S. You can just come here to the Philippines. It's much cheaper. In the Philippines, not much. Our guys in Pakistan, of course, have to be careful. Same with China. It's interesting. When you're in a big city, it seems to be much safer. When you're in the smaller cities, we have what we would call barangays or villages, and you'd have kind of an elder over that area. They notice more when foreigners come in, and it's a little more dicey. But the big cities is a lot more freedom, and so we'll tend to focus on that. In Pakistan, we went to a more remote area, so I had to wear this long robe. She was laughing because the pants are super, I mean, literally, you could put about four people inside, but then you put this elastic and it pulls the waist. And so I had to wear that there, and there's, you know, we walked by the mosque, and they were just giving us hard. They said, if you would have wore foreign clothes, that would have really upset them. And that's the first time I've ever been to a church where it's wrapped in barbed wire. The pastor had a 9mm in his belt, and I'm not kidding. And then they had a guy with an AK-47, a big guy just standing his guard. It's a different reality. That's a smaller city. The bigger cities, it's safer, but you still got to be, you know, wise and careful.
Just to add, the Philippines is actually ripe for the harvest. It is the opposite of difficult. They already know the Catholic background. I was Catholic. I knew Jesus died for me. I didn't know why. I didn't know that I now understand it fully, and I can share it with Filipinos. They know there's a God, but they think they're going to get to heaven because of their good works, because they go to Mass and they do the rosary. So they, when you come to them and you want to share the gospel or give them a track, they're happy to talk with you because they think they're on the same page as you until you get to the right page, Romans or whatever gospel, a part of the message they haven't heard yet. So if you want to go to the mission field, short-term mission, what have you, it's affordable. They speak English. They respect Americans. I don't know why, but they do. They really... They look up to Hollywood, so they want to talk to you. And they, a lot of them already know 70% of the way to the gospel. They know they're sinners, but they just think they're better than other sinners. They think they're good enough, you know? So it's really a wonderful opportunity for us. We're blessed. God has been really working. It's not hard. The Spirit just opens eyes. We just have to be faithful to share it.
Yes. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. From philosophy? Western philosophy? Yeah, I was going to say, back to the previous question, you know, is there persecution? You know, the biggest threat there in the Philippines is not Muslims or the government, it's other Christians. It's bad Christian teaching. It's pragmatism. It's prosperity gospel. That is a bigger threat to the church. And so a lot of Filipinos will come here and get trained, and then they'll take whatever, sorry to say, garbage that might be taught here, and they bring it back there. I've been sad by some of the missionaries that I've worked with. I shouldn't say, not on our team, but I went to language school for the first 2 years with this missionary couple. They would fight all the way there and fight all the way back. And as my wife and I are hearing some of their quarreling, we're like...
We were carpooling.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was so sad. I thought, wow, God brought them here. Maybe the Lord needed to work on their Christian walk first. But
one time he abruptly he goes, if you don't like the way I'm driving, then you drive. He pulls over, hits the brakes, and just walks out and sits over. I'm sitting in the back going, awkward.
Yeah.
And we drove the rest of the way. And he was teaching at a Bible college in the Philippines, and she was a counselor of sorts.
She was a counselor, a Christian integrationist counselor. And I thought, wow, I mean, we can get bad, but at least we have control in front of other people, right? If they can't even do that, oh, Lord, let's just keep praying for them.
We only fight like that in front of our kids.
But, exactly.
But not strangers, you know. Yeah, there was another time there was a conference that I was asked to speak at, and they had a guest from the U.S., and he thought it was novel, and he says, you know, nowhere in the Bible does it use the word church planning, and he went off on church. You shouldn't be doing church planning, and so I'm like, what do I do? Because I care for these men here, and I don't want to embarrass this guy, and I have become a Filipino a lot in my culture now. It's amazing how culture impacts you over years. And so I don't want to embarrass this guy, but I'm like, you know what? I'm afraid I'm going to have to. And I just said, you know, I appreciate your teaching this and that, but it may not use those words, but it's very clear. Paul went all over the place planting churches and then the apostles. And so that, you know, we make disciples, but we make disciples in a church, and we got to plant those churches. So there's a lot of bad missionaries. That's our biggest challenge in the Philippines as far as... if you want to, more than persecution, but maybe one last question, and then we need to wrap it up. Yes, sir. I think there's some of both. Like the one that I'm mentoring, his family were Christians, and there's others that are, yeah, you're going to have both. It's sad for the way they treat them. I mean, so it's numbers-wise, it's a lot because the country is so big, but percentage-wise, it's teeny, about 1%, maybe 1.5%. But they don't give Christians good jobs. They'll discriminate against them. One of the guys we met there was a contractor. He was a Christian Pakistani contractor, but Muslims would rather pay more from another Muslim than hire him, and they often get jobs as street cleaners and stuff like that. I mean, I have friends that are IT professionals and stuff, but there's discrimination to get loans in the bank, to own property. It's difficult there. It's a different world. India, the same, and you know, Indonesia pockets are going to be like that as well. But anyways, thank you so much. Thank you for your prayers. Should I just pray us out, or do you want someone to come up? Okay. All right. Well, let me close us in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your beautiful plan through your church. You feed your people, you equip your people, and then you use your churches to send people out to make you known, not just in our Jerusalem, our Judea, and our Samaria, but even to the ends of the earth, Lord. I thank you that you give us the privilege to be a part of what you're doing. Help us to be faithful. Help us to live for eternity, have our eyes fixed on that rather than the temporal. Use us, Lord, to be instruments of making you known to a lost and dying world. We have all these opportunities, Lord, wars, famines, disease, poverty, things happening, Lord, that create opportunities for us to show your love, to preach your gospel. Use us, Lord, move our hearts to do that faithfully. Help us to do that well for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.